Chika is in a boat, crossing a river. It's the first time he has seen a river. It's the first time he's crossing a river. The first time he is in a snug boat made for four, going he doesn't know where with three strangers. Strangers who call him brother. So many firsts on a single day. Chika turns back just once. Where is the land he has left so suddenly, so easily? That bank, the village, the jungly no man's land dividing high and low, and beyond the pond, the untouchable settlement, his father's hut, his father. The horizon has swallowed it all up. Peddi the ferryman is deferential to elder brother, friendly with Puttana and indulgent to Chika. Peddi shows off what the boat and he can do together. He slows down, comes to a stop, and the boat breathes on its own, moving where the river takes it. Suddenly Peddi pulls back, then pushes and pulls like a demon so the oars beat the water out of the way. The boat runs faster than the river. Peddi looks at Chika as if to say, see? Peddi could be his grandfather, giving him a treat. This is one more miracle in a day of miracles. It's late in the afternoon. The sun is well past mid-sky. It's slipping down the side of the sky. It's spent the best or the worst of its strength. The sun is willing to be benign now. A breeze stirs. It turns cool, so cool. There's goose flesh on the river's skin. The water ripples. There's goose flesh on Chika's arm too. That thick skin made for humiliation or flogging or hopelessness is losing hold of him. It's peeling off him, falling to the floor of the boat like blood-streaked hide. This new Chika, the one who has just been born, hears a humming. It's Peddi. Puttana and elder brother have heard him too. Elder brother leans across, taps Peddi on the shoulder. Sing, brother. Sing out loud. The river's waiting for you. This is all Peddi needs. He throws back his shoulders and sings as vigorously as he rows. His voice is strong, used to straddling the waves. My body is my boat, the boat my prayer. How it sings, this prayer, how it sings. Mid-river or safe on shore, body and boat, song and prayer, one and the same. Peddi sings the lines again. This time, Puttana joins him. Their voices blend so they become one. They're showing Chika what it is to have body, boat, song and prayer become one and the same. In the dissection hall, everyone's already around the four cadavers, one for each batch of 25 students. As always, the pungent smell of formalin hangs in the air. It seeps into every pore of his skin. Satya blinks to clear his eyes. He can't possibly remain at the back with the students who just watch. He pushes his way forward, ignoring the usual barbed remarks. In his room at night, the cadaver's face comes back to him. How peaceful it looked, embalmed in sleep. On his own face, and he doesn't need a mirror to look at it, he can see a thousand miseries. No, he can see only one with a small single-syllable name but as big as a monster, many-headed like some mythical beast, too many heads to be killed by Satya in just this one life. The creature is taking up every inch of space in his life, gobbling up all his air. Yes, Satya has his armor, his weapons, his yearning, his hard work, his mother's love, his brother Prasad, Asha, Ravi. Chikaya's words like distant memories, and his own words. But they're still so simple and raw. How much can they do? He picks up the blue notebook, opens it to a new page, and writes. This is a cobbler's child. Don't sit next to him. This is a washerman's child. Don't speak to him. This child's mother lifts buckets of shit. Run away from him. My tears for these children have dried up. Must my voice too grow silent? There are several pages in the notebook still, inviting him to fill them up. but they too will have to learn that not all dreams are allowed to live.